Let's talk about prophetic ministry. What does it mean to be prophetic? Are you prophetic? And how does that look? In the Old Covenant, the voice of the prophet had a particular role. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So in the Old Covenant, there was an external, out loud voice of a prophet, even prophetess. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was married to a prophetess, a prophetess. So there were men and women prophets in the Old Testament. And that was an out loud voice to connect people to the covenant of God, particularly pointed to the administration of the Torah, the law, and a temple society, a tabernacle society. Okay, the new covenant, the voice of the Son is something that comes by Holy Spirit. He comes in Jesus' name. So the highest form of communication for us is the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. So now we got to say, is there still an out loud voice of a prophet? And if there is an out loud voice of a prophet in the New Testament, what's the difference between that and the out loud voice of the prophet in the Old Testament? So we're going to look at that. So the highest form of communication is the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. So even today, as I'm teaching you, if you hear God, it's not me that you hear, it's Holy Spirit that you hear in your heart. You know it's God because something happens inside of you. It isn't just something that comes to your head. Because I probably will say more than you can remember today. And even if you're taking notes on that paper, I'm probably going to say more than you can remember by writing it down. So what really counts is, what does Holy Spirit say to your heart today that makes life happen inside of you, that springs up faith inside of you? And so that's the highest form of communication. Now, when it comes to hearing God, you hear God with your spirit. You do not hear God with your soul. Now, listen to me in this. Your soul hears your spirit. So when you hear God, it sounds like you. Why? It is you. It's your spirit speaking to your soul, because your spirit has already heard God. This is a big one, because most people try to hear God with their soul. And that's to hear God from out here. You actually hear God with your spirit. That's why in the New Covenant, one of the charismas of Holy Spirit in the New Covenant that did not exist in the Old Covenant is the simple gift of tongues, which the Bible says is the language of an angel, or it can be the language of human beings. But most commonly it says it's a language that's not naturally understood. So it isn't necessarily a language that you can find anywhere on the planet. It isn't necessarily a language that an angel speaks. It's a mystery language that is heavenly, heaven-given and heavenly, and it's a language of mysteries. It's a language of edification. It's a language of thanksgiving to God that's beyond your understanding. And it's meant to stir your spirit. The Bible says that speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, edifies you. In other words, it connects you to the voice of God. It even goes as far as saying this, the book of Jude, the writer, he says, when people talk bad about you, it's easy to talk bad about them. And when people talk bad about people who have been sent into their lives, they do it for dumb reasons. They do it for reasons like Cain. They want to get rid of you to be better themselves, or they do it like Balaam, who they speak bad about you because they want to get some personal gain, or they do it like Korah, the priesthood, who says, well, we hear God too, and they exalt themselves by thinking, we hear God, we don't need you, and then they say something bad about you according to something that's naturally true, or they think is naturally true. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. They say something bad about you. Then Jude says this in verse 21 of Jude. But you pray in the Holy Spirit, it will build up your most holy faith. Now, faith comes how? Hearing. Hearing God speak to your heart. Hearing the rhema word. Hearing God speak to your heart is what causes faith to supernaturally happen inside of you. So Jude says, when you pray in the Spirit, it builds up your most holy faith. So it's not praying in tongues doesn't give you faith. Praying in tongues allows you to hear God in your spirit, not your soul. Then your spirit floods your soul. Your spirit gives your soul thoughts. Your spirit gives your soul reasoning. You begin to put plans and reasoning together. Your spirit floods your soul, and your soul begins to have emotions that are stirred by the Spirit. Your spirit begins to stir your imagination, and you begin to imagine things according to spirit inspiration. Your spirit activates your soul desire, your want to, your will, and you begin to have a want to, a desire, a will that's motivated by the Spirit. But it comes from inside of you. So the voice of God in the new covenant is the voice of the Son. It's not the voice of an external prophet. It's not even the voice of the external written word. It's the external written word that activates the internal voice. What happens when you read the scripture and all of a sudden you get a revelation? What happens? Oh, something happens inside of you. Whoa, something came inside here. Your spirit leaped. And then your spirit came and gave thoughts to your mind, gave desire to your mind. Your soul began to be spoken to, but it was your spirit speaking to your soul. When we move in prophecy in the new covenant, it's the same way. If I'm going to minister prophetically to you, or you're going to minister prophetically to me, in prophecy, you hear God, we hear God with our spirit. Something happens inside of us, and then we give voice to it. We speak what we've heard. Now, we didn't hear it here. We heard it in here. And then it came into our mind. It came as a thought. It came as a desire into our minds from inside. That did not happen in the old covenant. In the old covenant, you had to keep in your mind what came from the outside in. You were bound to the law. You were bound to the word of the prophet. Okay? In the new covenant, you're not bound to the word of the prophet. You're not bound to the word of the law. In the new covenant, the words that you would find in the law inspire you to come to faith. And the words that you might even hear externally from a prophet will inspire you to come to faith from inside out. So it's liberating, not binding. It causes you to become more from the inside out, not restrained or controlled from the outside in. So that's a difference between old covenant. Because any word is meant to keep us obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith is that place of personal intimacy and relationship with God. It's really about two different administrations. It's about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. Your family tree. A dad, a mom, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Pretty soon you have a family tree. In the kingdom of heaven, our family tree is based on each member of the tree being born again, having a personal relationship with God as Father, causes us then to become a tree of life, a testimony of a family tree of life. So the worst thing would be to be dead. The best thing would be to be alive. I put before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life. So the best thing is to be life, not to be right, but to be life. But if our family tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, well, what's good? What's evil? I want to make sure I know good so that I don't choose evil. And I better know evil so that I know to choose good. Give me information. Tell me what to do. Inform me so that I can be informed and my children can be informed and my children's children can be informed. And pretty soon I have a family tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil, which binds me, restrains me. That's old covenant tree. So we're talking about prophecy in the new covenant and the family tree of life. Now, how did we get into this family tree of life? We had to get out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The truth is, all of us are guilty of doing bad things because we know too much. Right? We know too much. We know enough that it can be proven that we're guilty of being wrong. Well, how do I know? If I'm even asking that question, I already know. If I'm arguing that I don't know, I already know. See, I've got enough knowledge of good and evil to know that I'm wrong. So there has to be a judgment to free me. Free me! I need a judgment. So in law, there's only one judgment. Law requires a judgment always. And there's only one judgment that can free you from law. In the court of heaven, here's what it is. Mercy! By the only one who can show you mercy, the one who never shows evil, never even chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but chose to do only that which he saw his Father doing. He stayed true to the tree of life. It was Jesus, the man, Jesus, the prophet, Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus is the man who can pronounce us guilty of mercy, and that frees us. So that brings us into the new covenant. Now, that tells me that if I'm going to prophesy in the new covenant, the foundation for the words that I'm going to speak to anyone is going to be mercy. My words are not going to be condemn you, shame you. Even the most guilty person, my words to that person have to begin with mercy. And now they are empowered by grace to overcome. Not mercy, stay as you are, but mercy, be empowered, be transformed. Old covenant prophecy, inform. New covenant prophecy, transform. Old covenant prophecy, shame on you. New covenant prophecy, new day, freedom, mercy's triumphed. Over judgment, now comes the power of grace. So get that in your spirit, that anytime I hear God for myself, and I look in the mirror and I want to give myself a word, it's going to begin with mercy, mercy, freedom, you're changing, new day. And then when I turn away from the mirror and I look to you, and I'm going to give you a word, even if you did bad things today, it's going to begin with mercy, freedom, transformation for you. So that is what's going to be coming out of our mouths because of the foundation to this new covenant place. Now, how did this happen? There's a story in Numbers chapter 11 when Moses appointed 70 elders to represent him. Now, in Scripture, 70 is a very significant prophetic number because 70 is a symbol of all the nations of planet Earth. If you went after the flood and you went into your Bible and you highlighted every nation that came out, every city that came from the sons of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and you highlighted those, you would find there are 70 cities. And so from those 70 came all the population of planet Earth. Okay? So from the 70... all the population. So all in the, through the tapestry of Israel, that number 70 was hidden. Even when Jesus says to Peter, Peter says, Jesus, how many times do you forgive somebody a day? Seven times? I mean, he grabbed a pretty good number, seven times. And Jesus said, no, Peter, 70 times seven. Now, he wasn't literally saying you forgive somebody 490 times. He was saying you forgive, seven is a number of perfection, total completion, perfect. As Holy Spirit is a perfecter, a sevenfold spirit. 70 is the number of the nations. So Jesus was saying to Peter prophetically, no, Peter, you forgive everyone, every time, all the time. Jesus, how many times do you forgive somebody in a day? Seven times? No, Peter, you forgive everyone, every time, all the time. And he said that in a prophetic enigma. 70 times seven. Okay? He was prophetically stating something that God knew. God wants forgiveness for all people, Men, women, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, every time. He wants to transform them. So, in the day that Moses selected 70, Moses didn't know this, but God was prophesying. God doesn't do anything on planet Earth without human voice. Never have. Because God is not in control of the earth. He's in charge. He owns it. But Psalms 8 says he put man in control of it. What is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you should consider him? You made him a little lower than gods, but you crowned him with glory and honor and gave him dominion over the works of your hands. Not over the works of man's hands, but the works of God's hands. You gave him dominion over all the things that God created, which would include angels, trees, frogs, fish, weather, things that God created. God gave man dominion over the things that God created. But man has to be intimate with God to bring the right influence to the things that he's in control of. So God is the Word. You are his voice. Always been true, even more true in the new covenant. Now, in the old covenant, God hid things and kept doing things that were prophetic. Like, okay, two instruments that were symbolic of the prophetic in the old covenant were the shofar trumpet and the silver hammer trumpet. Okay, now we say, well, we want to make sure we get the shofar trumpet and the silver hammer trumpet. That's Charlie Brown language for something. That's, we want to make sure we get the wah, 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 and the wah, 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 for wah, 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 wah. Okay, now that's what our brain hears. Because we're like Charlie Brown's dog listening to Charlie Brown. We're listening to God, and he's speaking to us in God language, and we don't speak God, we speak human. So we hear God, and we think we hear the words, but what we heard was wah, 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 and wah, 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 wah. Okay? So let me explain the wah-wah of the shofar. The shofar is a horn that comes from a male sheep, a ram, that is proof that the ram has been killed. And it's the authority of the ram. Now we empty out the life of the flesh that was inside that ram's horn. We make it so that wind can pass through it. And now we give life to something that was dead. And this is what it sounds like. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world were laid. It's the testimony not of life, it's the testimony of resurrection from the dead. You want to know something more powerful than life? It's called resurrection from the dead, because here's what it sounds like. Can't be killed. I'm back. Here I am. Cannot die, can't be killed, cannot die. Man, that'll scare the enemy every time. I'm back. The life of the flesh is not where the life came from. The life came from the Holy Spirit. God rose him from the dead. So the prophetic sound of the shofar is, cannot die, I'm back. He's blowing it through clay cross. Here I am. He's blowing it in your family. It's a prophetic voice. Woo! God speaks. Life happens. It doesn't matter how dead it is. Doesn't matter how long it's been in the grave. I'm back. Can't be killed. Okay. So that was a symbol of prophecy, which was only shadowed in the old covenant. But in the new covenant, it's finally real. You may not know it's prophetic, but when God speaks, life happens. Live again, born again, whoa, I'm back. So the sound is, I'm alive, I rose from the dead. If I die, I can't be killed. No power of death, not even second death. So the voice, that you may not call it prophetic, God doesn't care if you don't call it that, is, I'm alive, Christ in me. Okay, that's the sound of the shofar. But then there's the silver hammered trumpet. Silver is a symbol of redemption. I've been redeemed. Not only did I come alive, my life has been redeemed, bought back. My purpose has been restored. Now, you get a piece of silver, and the way you make a silver hammered trumpet is you get a hammer and you hammer it. You beat it. You don't weld it. You make it into a horn. You make it so that it has a hole in it, but nothing got welded. No human instrument formed this. Christ is formed in you. You may not realize it, but you're being beat to life. You're being formed. Not only were you born again, Christ is being formed in you. Your character is changing. Your nature is changing. The proof that you're redeemed is you act redeemed. You think differently. There's more hope in you, more expectation in you. You're showing mercy. Oh my goodness, you're being kind. Oh, good things are coming through you. Look at Christ is being formed in you. The sound of the silver hammered trumpet was, follow me, turn to the right, turn to the left, time to go to war, retreat, come this way, move to the right. It was the sound of being able to be directed in battle, in victory over the enemy, because you're being transformed into the character of Christ. So I just explained two attributes that should be in us as believers. Now, you may never get a lesson on the shofar or the silver hammered trumpet, and you may not know anything about the prophetic, but Holy Spirit does. He knows about the prophetic, and he knows that every single human being who has been born again is experiencing something prophetic. God spoke and life happened. They may not be able to explain it that way. All they know is, oh, I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I don't know if he is a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I see. That's what the blind man said. I don't know about this man, Jesus, what he did or what he didn't do. I just know I was blind, but now I see. That was when he was questioned by the religious ones, right? So life happens. Now, back to my story of Moses, because in this, he appoints 70. And when these 70 received the spirit that came on Moses in Numbers 11, Moses went out, he told the people the words of the Lord. He gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people. He placed them around the tabernacle, the place of God's manifest presence on earth. And the Lord came down in the cloud. The Lord came down in his manifest presence. He spoke to Moses, and he took the spirit, which was the Holy Spirit, that was upon Moses, and he put that same spirit on those 70 elders, and it happened. Oh, Holy Spirit came, and there was a happening. It happened. Holy Spirit came, and it happened. The 70 didn't do anything. They were just ready in the place to receive, and it happened. When the Spirit rested on them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. Why? It was old covenant. But something miraculous happened. They prophesied. What did they say? I don't know. Oh, the Spirit of God has come. He's liberating men. He's freeing their hearts and freeing their minds. And the earth will be filled with his glory, for the goodness of God will prevail. It cannot fail, for God's word is true and his love is enduring. And he's releasing people from every stage of captivity to become the glory of his name to the farthest ends of the earth. And the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. They might have said something like that, I don't know, but they prophesied. Okay, and then it says, but two men remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested on Eldad, and the Spirit rested on Medad. And when this happened, they began to prophesy. Although they were out in the camp, they were in the wrong place. They weren't in the tabernacle area. They were out in the camp, and Eldad and Medad began to prophesy. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Stop Eldad. Stop Medad from prophesying. And Moses said this, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. So he said, oh, that the Lord's people were prophets, and that he'd put his spirit upon them. Now, Eldad and Medad, their names mean God is really affectionate to you and God really likes you. So God is really affectionate to you and God really likes you. We're out in the camp. They were in the wrong place. And God didn't care. Why? He's really affectionate to you and he really loves you. And he put his Holy Spirit upon one that he was really affectionate toward and one he really loved, even though they were in the wrong place. Now, Moses responded prophetically. He didn't know what he was saying. He said, oh, that God would make all of his prophets, all of his servants prophets. You know what happened in Acts chapter 2? You celebrated it a week ago. It was the day of Pentecost when it was finally fulfilled as an old covenant and it activated as a new covenant reality 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, the Holy Spirit upon Eldads and Medads all over the world. Oh, the Eldads and Medads of England, the Eldads and Medads of Wales, the Eldads and Medads of Scotland, all the Eldads and Medads of Europe, the Eldads and Medads of America and Canada and Africa and Central America and South America, and the Eldads and Medads of Australia and New Zealand. Oh, they began to prophesy. The Holy Spirit came on Acts 2, and it was the beginning of Holy Spirit coming on all flesh. And when Acts 2, Peter had to give an explanation, they said, what does this mean? And he didn't say, well, this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to refresh people, make them feel good and have a good relationship with God. No, he said, this is what Joel was talking about when he said God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh and men and women would prophesy. Young men would have visions, old men would have dreams. Even men servants and maid servants would prophesy and everything will change. He talked about the sun turning black, the moon turning to blood. That's the end of natural kingdoms. You know, King Ted, 46 years ago, met King Jesus and King Ted died, but then he was born again. I was born again. God spoke and life happened. And for 46 years, Christ is being formed in me. And I'm a Eldad, I'm a Medad. The Holy Spirit's come upon me. Oh, the Lord is good. This is the day of his freedom. No longer will your feet be bound to the snare. Because a loving Father is here. And he is there for you in every situation. And he's bringing forth the glory of life in every reality. He's stretching out the boundaries. He's stretching out the tent pegs. He's filling your life with the goodness of the power of his grace. You will see it from glory to glory. The light will shine brighter and brighter. There's no end to the increase, for his goodness will fill your heart and fill your mind. And the more you grow, the more you'll know the love of your Father is there to show a testimony of his goodness to all around. See, I'm an Eldad, I'm a Medad, I can't help it. Holy Spirit is upon my life, and you too. Okay, so this is a new covenant reality of prophetic became stronger in the new covenant than it was in the old covenant. Now, in the new covenant, all of God's servants are prophets by the very fact that the Holy Spirit is prophetic. Now, God still has nouns who are prophets because there are motivational gifts that are given to all of us by our Father. Some of us by nature perceive. Those are the ones of us who used to make up songs when we were little kids and see things that other people didn't see and then wonder why people didn't think like us. Yeah, come on. Some of us are there. And then there are some of us who are motivated as teachers. You're always trying to help people out. Even when you were a little kid, you were helping people out and you were trying to help them to understand and you were being a mediator and a bridge in things and helping people realize and understand things. And there's some of us who are mercy motivated. We're rescuing stray cats and stray dogs and even pet flies and taking care of things because it was this mercy thing that was in us. And some of us were motivated by administration, always trying to lead people. And we were the captains of the team and making sure there was a team, and making sure the team won. And you know, so we have these motivations that have always been on us that are given by the Father. But then we also have ministry gifts that are given to us through Jesus. And every one of us are, we're apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, or teaching in some way, in verb. Some of us are even nouns to help the verbs be activated. Because God wants an apostolic church, a church that's always sent, always releasing, always increasing. He wants a prophetic church, a church that's always speaking, life is happening. He wants an evangelistic church, a church that reaches into the deadest of places and things are born again. Life happens and fruit is produced. And he wants a church that is pastoral, that people care for one another and they know people's names and they speak their names and they're loved and they're cared for. And he wants a church that is teaching, mentors, disciples, helps people understand, right? And so it's greater in the new covenant than it was in the old. But then there's also the Holy Spirit who comes with a prophetic grace and a prophetic anointing. And he does that because he wants God to speak and life to happen. So God speaks, life happens. That's the purpose of the prophetic. Now, say one other thing, and then we're going to do just a little short activation before we take a break. But when I say God speaks and life happens, it's a testimony of love of God, a testimony of love for people, even a testimony of love for myself. Because when we really get honest and we look in the mirror, we don't always love ourselves. And God wants to speak so that life will happen. Because when we don't love ourselves, we may even take scriptures and speak them to ourselves, but we speak them in a condemning way. Whereas Holy Spirit can take the exact same words and speak it in a liberating way. And if we become givers of life, then the world that we live in gets changed by life. So God wants us to have this administration, a heavenly administration in our lives, so that we become a heavenly testimony in our families. The world lives with a non-heavenly administration, a demonic administration. The world is under the sway of a wicked one. If you're under the manipulation, the sway of a wicked one, you end up doing wicked things. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you a manipulated, maneuvered person that you do not act according to who you really are. You act according to a lie. And so you don't believe the truth, so you end up living a lie. That's people in the world. God does not hate people in the world. He absolutely loves people in the world. And he doesn't measure them by the Bible. He measures them by his heart. Now, the old covenant measured people by the word of God. The new covenant measures all people by the love of God so that they can become the testimony of the word of God. Do you hear what I said? God doesn't measure the world by the word. He measures the world by his heart. Now, his heart is that they would come to him. Now, listen to me. His Holy Spirit is constantly drawing everybody. No one is with an excuse. His Holy Spirit is drawing everyone. It's not my job to condemn any human being. It's my job to be a minister of reconciliation, to touch them with a life-giving coal from the altar as often as I see flesh die. The moment I see human strength die, I touch them with life. If human strength is too strong and they can't be touched, I can't touch them. But the moment I see someone being touched, I touch them further with the love of God. Right, Ken? We touch them with the love of God at the moment that flesh is dying, and then they hear what God's been saying to them all their life. Who will go for me? But the moment before they hear that, they actually hear, woe is me, I'm a sinner. Okay, now God didn't actually say to them, you're a sinner. That was their own heart that said that to them when they were touched by the love of God. Oh, he's me. I'm a sinner. But then the love of God touched them further, and they were able to hear what God was saying to them all their life. Who will go for me? Who will go for me? And then in that moment, they're able to hear, whoa, here I am. Send me. That's that. I can't believe that came out of my mouth moment. Because I'm totally not qualified by my abilities. I'm only qualified because God loves me. And God says, that's enough. Because now he brings his prophetic spirit, Holy Spirit, into your life. And now you become a expressor of life. You speak and life happens. And the administration of your life now is the Holy Spirit is the administration of your life. Grace is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And it administrates your life. And now I'm governed by a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? And I become a testimony of a human being who is governed by a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, faith. Now, outside of Christ, I was governed by a knowledge of good and evil, myself, some other religion, some teaching, some information. I was governed by that. In the old covenant, on planet Earth, the best you could do would be to be governed by the Torah. And the best human being, an example of it, was a guy named John. It says, of those born of woman, no one was greater than John. And what was his message? If you have been stealing, stop it. If you have, someone comes to you and asks you for something and you have two, give them both. Basically, he's saying, be good, don't be bad. Okay? So of those born of woman with an administration of the knowledge of good and evil, no one was better than John. But then Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Hey, do we have a least in here? I'll take that place. I'll be the least. Even the least is greater than John. So what does the least know? The least knows he loves me. The least knows, well, life is happening in me. Faith is happening in me. I'm a life giver. I'm alive. You can be alive too. He loves me. He loves you. He picked me. He'll pick you. Okay, so now the administration of my life is this relationship. So now, the prophetic voice in the Old Covenant was an out loud voice that pointed to the administration of heaven on earth. Okay, in the Old Covenant, the administration of heaven on earth was the Torah law. And it was manifested in a temple society. So in the Old Covenant, a prophet would always seek to return people to the law and being a temple society. Because it was an informing voice for people who were under an administration of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this might be hard for you to hear, but listen to this. Because God does not look at things in just one human lifetime. He looks at things through the eyes of human story. I love your country because your country is full of history. Sometimes I go on your green hills and I look at your dry stone walls and your very old stone structures, and I stand there and I say this, I've literally said this out loud. How many dreams have been in this land that have not been fulfilled? And I look closely. I love looking at buildings that are falling down, and I look at them to remember somebody's dream. And I like to do that because I realize when God looks at us, he doesn't see my life. He sees all of the dreams that have ever been on these grassy hills. And he says, a lot of those died never seeing their promise. And although this land is filled with lots and lots of tombstones and memories of revivals from the past, heaven is filled with lots and lots of rejoicing from people who do not have as much revelation of God as you do now. People who did not have as much revelation as you do now, but have it now in heaven. So there is a salvation that gets you to heaven when you die. I think there's a lot of people in history from Adam all the way up to this moment that have gone to heaven when they died. But God wants the influence of heaven on planet Earth to increase in the generations. And he wants you to go to heaven in the process. You are not here to reinvent the wheel and simply live another human life disconnected from the past. You are here to live your human life as a furtherance of every human life that's been on these grassy hills to this moment. And to bring a release of the glory so that you go to heaven when you die, but something of heaven is increasing in these grassy hills because you are here. So to me, the gospel, the good news, is the administration of heaven, not just in a human life, but on earth as it is in heaven. This is why right now on planet earth, 30-some percent of human beings have a relationship with God in some measure through Jesus Christ. This is why when you read the book of Acts, you're reading a story where 0.25% of the planet's population had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When you read the book of Acts, 0.25% of the planet's population had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But today, over 30%, I think 33% of the planet has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe in a different way than you see it, but it's through Jesus Christ, not through Buddha, not through Allah, not through any other, but through Jesus Christ. That's statistically true. So it's increasing, not decreasing. In spite of what you see on the negative news, it's increasing. So the voice of the prophet then is to point to the administration of heaven on earth. What's the administration of heaven on earth now? The Holy Spirit speaking to the human heart. So the voice of the prophet in the new covenant doesn't point people to the law, but points people to the internal voice of God in their hearts. I'll give you one testimony and then we're going to do a little quick activation. My goal in prophesying is to never give information, but it's to connect people's hearts to God. I was doing a meeting in Canada one time a few years ago, and at the end of the meeting, I began to minister prophetically over some folks, and there was a lady in the back, very back row, and she was with another lady, had brought her to the church. And I began to minister to her, and when you prophesy, when you speak, when God speaks to you and you out loud express it, it can be filled with words of knowledge. You might not know it, but it's a word of knowledge, something that is known by God about that person that you don't know. You might not even realize it's a word of knowledge. You might just say something you think is stupid, and it might be something that happened in that person's life. It's filled with words of wisdom, words that are Holy Spirit expressions that get them into the future, or words of prophecy, something that creates, that speaks, and life happens, or even discerning of spirits, or a release of faith, or some other charisma of Holy Spirit. So I began to speak to this lady, and in these words were words of knowledge and things that Holy Spirit knew about her that I didn't know. And she began to cry. And after the service, she said to her friend, "How did he know those things?" Now, that did not impress me. The next line she said is what impressed me. Because that in itself is not New Covenant prophecy. That in itself is Old Covenant prophecy. How did he know those things? That's Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, prophets knew things. But the next line, she said, "But what was that happened in here when he began to speak? It made me cry." That's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to the human heart. That's what you're after. That's the administration of heaven in New Covenant prophecy. I'm not impressed with how accurate somebody gives me my address or my telephone number or what happened in my life. Soothsayers can do that. What I'm impressed with is when the love of God touches my heart and it reveals that personal connection with Holy Spirit in me, that's the administration of heaven in the new covenant. So we're going to do a little activation. I want you to do something that's really brave for English people. Get up out of your chair and find somebody to partner with a moment. I'll walk you through a little simple exercise. Okay? You can go and put two chairs next to each other if it's easier for you to sit down, or move around
and team up one-on-one. Everybody find a partner. You can move away from one another to make this happen. Yeah, I know this is tough for Brits, but you can do this. Come on. Now, yeah, you can sit down. Okay. All right. Somebody needs to team with Ken. There, Ken needs a partner. Got it. Is there anybody who does not have a partner who's participating in this? Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to go through a little prophetic exercise. In the morning, I do exercise. I run every morning, but I don't run all day long. I'd look like an idiot if I ran all day long. To some people, I look like an idiot running in the morning, but I do run in the morning because I want to be in physical condition. Some of you go to a gymnasium, and when you go to the gym, you do exercises on funny-looking machines. But if you drug that machine out on the street, and you used it out on the street, you look really funny, and no one would want to listen to anything you said because you look weird. Now, what we just created is a safe environment that is a spiritual gymnasium. Holy Spirit loves to equip believers to be able to be givers of life. Bible says, equip saints for the work of ministry. Let's translate that a little bit. Holy Spirit loves to take human beings who have a relationship with God, stretch them a bit so that they can be givers of life to one. He likes to equip. So prayer, we all pray, right? We pray. Now, sometimes when we pray, we think that prayer is, dear Jesus, I need a loaf of bread, I need some eggs. It'd be nice to get a dozen, but six would be enough. I also need some people to like me. One hello today would be nice. And I need a job, and take care of me. Amen. Now, that's not really praying. That's the way people who don't know God pray. People who don't know God, that's how they pray. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? They're worried about that stuff. And Jesus said, that's the way the Gentiles pray. And I know their needs, but you don't pray that way. You seek first the kingdom of God. Your Father will take care of all that stuff. So praying then should be led by the Holy Spirit. We should get thoughts from the Holy Spirit when we pray. So I'm going to illustrate, and I'm going to walk us through this little exercise. Okay, so I'm going to select you. Okay, so now you can get your sit. So if I'm going to pray for her, now if I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, the last thing I need is my brain. Okay, so now a good thing in the new covenant, since we're in a kind of a family environment and we're stretching here, this is a safe place. And so I speak in tongues. Are you okay if I just you speak in tongues as an illustration? All right with that? Okay, is this a safe environment? I'm just doing it now. The only reason I'm doing this, I'm doing it not because I have to, but because I'm illustrating Holy Spirit knows what to say, and so I'm just stirring up my spirit with words I don't understand so that the words of my head that I do understand won't interfere. So a simple exercise would be I'm going to the gym and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to stir myself up. So, now that's my voice, because my spirit is being stirred by Holy Spirit, and it's given thoughts, and I've learned to just open my mouth. So I do that all day long. I do it when I run in the morning. I do it all throughout all my day. Because I know I don't need brain thoughts. I need things to come from inside. In the gymnasium, this is an exercise, not meant to be a method, but it's meant to stretch your spiritual muscle. It's like that treadmill is a method, but you don't use a treadmill all day, it just gets you in shape for the whole day. Okay, I run in the morning, gets me in shape for the day. Okay, so in our exercise, I'm going to tell us to stir ourselves up, and you can go, help me, Jesus, or shikarada basatana, or somehow, don't think with your head, stir yourself up. And then I'm going to tell you to go quiet, and when we hear God, it comes from inside of us, and there's three basic ways that we hear. Now, I'm sure that God has a million ways he can speak, but human beings hear three basic ways. We see pictures, we hear words, or we feel something, or a combination thereof. Now, some of you see pictures. It doesn't make you more spiritual, that's just how you hear. Some of you get a thought, it comes to you from inside, you get a phrase, you get a thought. And some of you feel things. Like evangelistic people, listen, sometimes if you've got an evangelistic grace on your life, you're going to start to get lots of words of knowledge for healings, because evangelistic anointings are connected with things that capture people's attention, miracles, healings, faith. And so you're going to start experiencing sometimes even physical things in your body. Like your right knee will start to hurt. If your right knee starts to hurt, dare to say this. Who is it that has the right knee that's hurting right now? I promise you, if you've not done anything to your knee and you're in an environment where you're ministering to people, all of a sudden your knees start to hurt, open your mouth, say, who is it? And say the comment, who is it that has a right knee that is injured? Because God wants to heal that right now. Who is that? Raise your hand. Who is that? Okay? And then go put your hands, put your physical hands, and see what God will do. Okay? And if it doesn't work, if it didn't get healed, you're one time closer to it working. So keep doing it. Okay? And that's just a word of knowledge. Okay? So now, if I'm going to pray now prophetically, I can say, daughter, I know I'm not wrong there. Thank you, God, for your daughter. I'm pretty safe so far, right? I haven't said anything wrong. That's like pouring water down the pump. I'm going to get something going. So, Father, I thank you for your daughter. God, I thank you for the tenderness that you put within her. And, Lord, I thank you that you're healing every place where the enemy's wounded her is the most tender place. And in the very place where she's felt the most unsure, the very place where she's felt the most unprotected is where she's being healed. And she's coming forth as a new, confident daughter of you. In the places where she was wounded the most is where trust is being restored. And I thank you, God, that she's going to be a healer of many. She's going to touch people and heal that tender place. I thank you, God, that you're restoring that. I thank you, God, that you are just touching that place inside of her and revealing to her that you are so pleased with her that she was able to be wounded in that place. For many people aren't even able to be touched there. And though the place where it looked like the enemy was victorious is the very place where the enemy loses. And I thank you, God, that you're granting her the grace to be restored in that area. And Lord, you're healing her image of you as Father, not just as Jesus, her Savior, her Rescuer, but Father is the one who cares for her, is there for her, and fights for her. And I ask you, God, that you just grant that grace to her and release it to her in a great measure in Jesus' name. All right, now I'm just praying. But that's the same as prophecy. Because I could have prophesied that. I could have said, God is coming because he is restoring your heart. He's very pleased with how you've been so tender. And that's where the enemy tried to get you. And you have condemned yourself at times because you were wounded in that area. And when you were frustrated and angry at some of the things that happened to you, then you even entered into the place where you condemned yourself for that thing happening. And God says, no. I made you who you are. I made you be who you are. And I love that tender place. And I'm restoring that place of innocence in you. And you're going to touch so many people and free so many people. There are so many caterpillars in this city that need to be butterflies. There are so many caterpillars, so many ones who didn't think they could fly, didn't think that they could get away. They were dependent on the circumstances, the situations, the leaves and the twigs that they had crawled on. But God says, you are coming out. You're coming out of that place of cocoon to hold freedom and the beauty of who you are and being touched many, many people. Your story is not through. And the story that seemed to be the worst is proved to be the best. Because you're going to bring many people to the freedom of love and life. Yeah? Okay? So you saw how I prayed prophetically, and then I just gave word. I'm not thinking with my head. I think we're okay, huh? So now, let's just pray. That's a good idea. Holy Spirit, whatever of that is you, thank you for this precious, precious daughter, one and only daughter of your Father. And I ask that you just come by your supernatural grace. Bring such wonderful healing to her. Don't just release the beauty of you, but release the beauty of who this precious girl is, this daughter. Let her shine in the days ahead like never before. Jesus. Okay. All right. Now, all I want you to do is pray for one another. Whatever thought comes to you. Now, those of you that are used to prophesying, you're going to want to prophesy. Just put it in words of a prayer. This little tool, there's not anyone in Clay Cross, probably, that's going to stop you from praying for them. You could go to somebody who doesn't know God, and you could say, could I pray for you? And they're probably going to say, yeah. And so you just covertly pray and let it be led by the Holy Spirit and see what happens, okay? All right, so get ready. What we're going to do is we're going to stir ourselves up. I'm going to pray a little prayer, and then I'll say, stir ourselves up. That's where you just go, help me, help me, Jesus, or and then I'm going to say, go quiet. When I say go quiet, it's going to take just a little bit, less than a minute. Just begin to see what you see, a picture you see, or a thought you hear, or a feeling you have. And then when I say begin, one of you begin to pray for the other person, and as soon as they're done, the other person pray for that other person. So you both pray for them. Okay? Alright, Father, we thank you for your presence here. You're here by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you come in the name of Jesus. You speak and life happens. We thank you that you're inside of us, and we want to be givers of life, for the anointing to speak and life happen is in us, and we just receive that now in Jesus' name. Let's stir ourselves up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We release this life. Spring up from inside of us. All right, now go quiet. Go quiet. Just pray for yourself. See what you see. Hear what you hear. Sense what you sense. Don't begin until I say. Just listen right now inside. All right, go ahead. One of you begin to pray, and as soon as you're done, the other one prays. Go ahead.